you want to exchange Christmas presents this year?
I would love to.
Great. So, what do you want?
Excuse me?
Well, in my family, everybody just writes down what they want, and then we give it to each other, and everybody has a great Christmas.
Lemon, gift-giving is the purest expression of friendship. I'm going to think about what I know and like about you, and that will lead me to the perfect gift, and you do the same. How about the most we can spend on each other's gifts is $0?
Really? You want to exchange creative gifts? Oh, well, you are the one that's in trouble now, buddy, because creativity to me is just like, it's like a bird, like a friendly bird that embraces all ideas and just like shoots out of its eyes all kinds of beauty.
Wow, Lemon, this is like watching Hemingway write Mark Hemingway.
Yeah.
TBTL.
There's a crazy rumor going around that you folks like milk and cookies.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's Friday. Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
Presents are the best way to show someone how much you care. It is like this tangible thing that you can point to and say, hey, man, I love you this many dollars worth.
Oh, boy. Who keeps putting Twizzlers in the fridge? Is it Sarah?
Crystal.
Crystal does.
She likes them cold.
Okay, well, Crystal, you and I are going to have another Twizzler talk.
No, a joke's not a joke unless everyone can laugh at it.
Hey, can we get back to the funny?
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to a Friday morning edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
Is it too early to get a fish sandwich?
My name is Luke Burbank. I am your host.
Well, I guess this is the part where the art gets made.
Coming to you from the offices of Livewire Radio on Mississippi Avenue in Portland, Oregon, the Rose City. Welcome to episode 2798 in the Collector Series. If I sound a little amped at this early hour, it's because I'm on coffee number three. And what I've been doing, because I'm here in Portland, I've been experimenting with different kinds of half-and-half alternatives in my coffee. And because it is Portland, there are many, 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 many options. I got up at the hotel, and I had a coffee with they didn't have I wanted coconut milk, and they didn't have it. They just had oat milk.
It tastes like soot and hot water. I'm hooked.
So I bought that coffee, and I drank that in the car, and then I stopped at like some like Dutch Brothers, and I got an almond milk latte that was a little almondy for me.
It tastes like soot and hot water. I'm hooked.
And then I finally went to old Starbucks, and I got a coconut milk a latte, and that one tastes pretty good. So here I am. I'm on coffee number three. I am feeling no pain, and I am excited to be talking to you here on the Imaginary Radio.
Let the fun begin.
Now, I'm feeling good this morning, but I was not feeling so great yesterday, as I had two airplane flights canceled, had to rent a car that was in a state of, shabbiness, because there was a real planes, trains, and automobiles type situation at the airport yesterday. Of course, we had a tornado in the Northwest this week, and the high winds did not abate. So I had this crazy adventure trying to get down here to Portland to do a Livewire, and this was all happening against the backdrop of finding out that Space Car is toast. Yeah, that was a call I got from Carrie right as I was in the teeth of missing my flights.
That's my wife.
Was that our car is broken beyond all repair.
This is why we can't have nice things.
So anyway, I'll tell you about my no good, horrible, very bad Thursday. And what else are we going to do? Well, it's Friday, so we got some music for your weekend. And we will talk to this guy. He is the longest running Cobro of the show. He's known for his drawings of tall ships, their grace, and their splendor. He's back at it again with the white Vans. He might have tacos for dinner tonight. He's not quite sure about it. He's known in some quarters as the Miami Meat Tent, and in other places as Mr.
Unlimited.
I was enjoying his work on the Ron and Don show yesterday. As my personal world was crumbling, I thought he was doing quite an excellent job hosting Afternoon Drive on one of Seattle's main radio stations. He's Andrew Walsh, and he joins us right now. I call him Andrew Mad Dog Walsh, and he joins us from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Good morning, my cobra.
Good morning. Thank you for the kind words. I'm more of an irritated dog. Like, I'm like a tetchy dog, you know? Like,
I'm just kind of like,
yeah, a dog that has not had enough sleep, made up for it with caffeine. You know, the caffeine is keeping him awake, but it's not really improving his mood any. That's my new name. Can you say all that? Did you remember that? Did you write that down?
Uh-huh, I did. I write down everything good. You say. And then
oh, good. Thank you.
Go back and I set up a scene study, kind of a Marwin call for me at my house. I have a Bobo doll and a Luke doll, and they talk usually after the show based on what we talked about during the program. Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that. I mean, you and I think we get along pretty well, especially how closely we work together and how often, you know, and how much we work together. Things don't usually get uncomfortable, but, when, you know, we're humans. Obviously, every now and then there's things that need to be talked out. I don't think a lot of people realize that in those moments, you and I do use our dolls to talk to each other. And even if we have to do it down the line remotely, we'll fire up the Skype. I'll get my dolls. You'll get your dolls. And we'll kind of work things out like that. I like it.
You know, I was going to make a joke about like a sandbox for dream therapy. Because once Carrie and I went to this therapist and like we were there for couples therapy. But also this therapist
That's my wife.
had a sandbox with little like toys and characters. And at some point I said, what's the sandbox about? And she was like, oh, that's for dream work. And I was going to make a joke
I'm
about
listening.
That. But you know that, I mean, considering the personal voyage of discovery I've been on, I give it about 4 days before I'm on this show talking about how useful my dream therapy was in the sandbox. There's about
the
a 100% chance I will embrace that.
The only problem is the sand they use is not organic, and unfortunately a lot of rocks were hurt in bringing the sand, so you're trying to look for some alternatives that still have the same texture. But
yeah, you know, you joke, but again, give it a week, and I'll be on here telling you how I watched a documentary about sand, and now I'm only using organic sand.
These used to be shells. I mean, full shells. And then we're just frolicking around throwing our Nerf footballs and our Frisbees on the stuff that used to be full shells.
You know it. Hey, big weekend for you. This is our last, like sort of live show before we go on a little break for the holidays. But believe me, the music doesn't stop, people, because we have recorded 2 weeks of brand new episodes with our friend Camaro Kev and also your friend Genevieve. And
she's your friend too, I think. I mean, anything happened since we recorded those? Are you guys not getting along?
Oh no, we're doing well. We're doing great,
and it was
awesome having Genevieve on the show. So we're going on break, but you will get to hear episodes of TBTL that you've not heard before. So keep on, please keep on keeping on with our show. But it is like kind of the last. This is the last weekend before Christmas actually happens. Do you have to? Like, how's your present game looking right now? Have you gotten all the stuff you need to get?
Yep, I've gotten that. I only really get presents for one person, and it's my neighbor, Harry. Mm-hmm. And I got all those set, so no problem there. I'm looking forward to it. Next week, I'll be ronning and donning some more, so I'll be taking advantage of my time there. I'm really looking forward to tonight. You know this feeling. Like, this week I've been doing, you know, waking up doing this and then heading over to do Cairo, which is not a big deal. I got to say, yesterday, I don't know if you heard the beginning of Ron and Don yesterday, but I was co-hosting with Mike Salk over there, and he hosts the morning show on the sports station in the same building. And I woke up yesterday kind of dragged out of bed, and I was kind of feeling like, oh God, I'm so tired waking up doing this show. And then, you know, then got to go over to Cairo, do the thing. And then I turn on the radio as I'm making coffee, and who do I hear? Bright and chipper on his show, already up for probably 5 hours, Mike Salk, the guy I'd been hosting with the night before and the guy I would be hosting with again the next night. So I think that I'm insanely lazy, but I am very much looking forward to getting off the air tonight and having this somewhat long second half of the week done, and I can just put on some dumb movie with Genevieve and bask in the glow of our Christmas tree lights.
Nice. Yeah, I'm kind of with
nog.
You. I'm excited to, as I say, slide down that dinosaur today. Once this is done, so then I've got to go grab my daughter's worldly possessions, which I'm told can fit into three medium-sized Rubbermaid boxes. So we shall see. And then her bike, because she's moving to D.C. for this internship she's doing at NPR. And so I'm going to put her stuff in the rented Kia Sorento and drive it up to Bellingham. But that is also going to take me through the teeth of traffic throughout multiple states and cities. So I guess we'll see. If I show up cold and shivering and with a dazed look in my eye at your guys' house at, say, 9 p.m. because I've just been sitting in traffic, will you take me in? Will you find room at the inn for me?
I mean, we, like I say,
Christmas
we have that
Eve,
little
Eve.
We have that alcove. I'm sure we can find some blankets for you that we can throw to kind of make it a little bit more homey for you. No problem there.
I'm jealous that you have your Christmas shopping done because I – well, see, here's
really?
The thing. Carrie's birthday is like a week before Christmas, and that's,
Pressure.
I don't blame her for being born this close to Christmas, but I'm just saying she could have made it easier on me by being born in the summer or something. And so it's like I usually a fair amount of mental energy goes into trying to get something creative for her birthday, and then I'm spent. Then that's it. That's all I've got. And then you turn right around and it's Christmas time. So this is going to be – I'm going to be one of those – I'm going to be like a stereotype from a commercial you would see during the football game. I'm going to be that guy wandering the mall trying to get last-minute gifts for everyone this weekend.
That's not a great feeling. I that's how I usually live my life. I think maybe in the past few years I've been on top of it a little bit more. Maybe I'm thinking about a time when I was maybe living closer to home, and so I was going to, like, you know, Christmas with the folks and Christmas here, and so I had a longer shopping list. Like, I'm pretty spoiled when it comes to this now. You know, I shop for Genevieve. She gets me something. I get her something. It's very simple. And also, we don't put a lot of pressure on each other. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to – it's not like, oh, my God, if you mess this up, relationship on the rocks, you know. Relationships on the Rocks might be a relationship book that I am going to publish in the next year or so. Keep an eye out for that.
Is that about how to use alcohol to build your relationship?
Mm-hmm. To smooth things over, just
I'll have one relationship
out the rough edges.
On the rocks.
On the rocks. So I don't have, but I do remember that feeling of like not really having ideas and going to the mall and being like, well, I'm opening up myself to the mall and to the universe. What you got for me? And then you end up getting some sort of one of those mirrors with Al Pacino from Scarface on it. You're like, this is perfect for my sister.
It's like, yeah, exactly. It's like Orange Julius gift certificates for everyone.
Well, right.
I mean, actually, couple things. One, Carrie and I have also decided this year that we were like, we're not going to do a whole big Christmas thing. We're actually going to plan a little trip together, and that will be our Christmas present, which makes so much more sense. I've said this a million times on the show, and this isn't really an original thought, but when you are married to someone or when you're with someone and you commingle your finances, buying them a gift is really just unilaterally deciding to prioritize 100 of your joint dollars for a thing, you know?
Yeah.
Which is odd if you think about it. And so it's to me, it makes a little more sense to just kind of collaborate and say, hey, what would be something we would both enjoy? And why don't we go ahead and do that together? So that's kind of what we're doing. But then my wife is such a creative and thoughtful gift buyer. She said, let's not spend over $50. Like, that's the limit for us. But then she also mentioned, oh, I grabbed you some things. And I know what she did. She grabbed exactly $50 worth of thoughtful, creative, small things. So instead of just, I could go out and just drop $200 on a coat or something she needs. But now I have to find like five creative, thoughtful things that
it's
come
exactly
in under,
like
the,
Liz
under
Lemon.
The limit of $50. This is getting way harder for me.
That's exactly what our intro tape was about today. Oh, you want to have a creative – you want to exchange creative gifts. Well,
right.
I hope your brain is like a bird, just flies with creativity.
Things shooting out of it. The other thing I'll say is you know, we've got – well, this is to my wife's eternal credit. We have 9 to 8 million nieces and nephews – who all need to have gifts bought, but Carrie mostly is handling that. But as far as my gifts to my wife, it is. I said I'm going to the mall, but to be honest with you, we now live in a world. If you are a kind of I don't know how to put this. If you're a certain kind of person or a certain kind of couple in this day and age, it's also not really acceptable to buy a mall gift. Does that make any sense? Like, the mall is déclassé. Like, you, what I really have to do is go to 12 to 13 different stores in Bellingham that all sell one kind of weird hand-hewn thing. Like, if I just walk in with some slippers from Macy's, and I don't mean that Carrie would be judgy. She's, you know, she's fine about this stuff. I just mean that I would feel like I was phoning it in, because it really is – you really can't even go to the mall anymore. You have to now go to a place where – some kind of a like small artisanal place that makes a certain artisanal thing. That's really where you need to get presents from if you want to be cool anymore.
Remember when we were driving through it was on our RV trip. We were driving through – what was that town? Oh, my gosh. This is terrible. What was the town that we posed by the statue of the 70s rocker? Because
Winslow, Arizona.
Winslow. Why am I blanking? We're standing is that the Allman Brothers?
Winslow, Arizona.
Was that the Allman Brothers? Why have I totally
the Eagles?
Eagles, of course. Right. They're like the. What is the difference? It just occurred to me. Is there a significant difference between the Allman Brothers and the Eagles?
I'm sure the listeners will weigh in on this matter.
I'm sure the listeners have no opinion on that whatsoever. Anyway, I remember we were in a travel center there. Which
I do think that'd be a good name if you had an almond milk company, though. I feel like there's a way to work that in.
The Allman Brothers. There must be some sort of situation where somebody's got the Allman Brothers brand. But I remember there was one of those big travel centers that had kind of a bunch of different rooms and had the arcade in the back. And it also had a little room where there was a woman, and it was like all dedicated to dream catchers, actual dream catchers. And, you know, I feel like I think about that a lot, because I think that like that is like the ultimate last minute gift for somebody. You're like traveling home for the holidays. You're like, I forgot to pick up something. I got something for the whole family, but I forgot to get something for little Timmy. I need to stop here. I guess I'm going to have to get Timmy his first dream catcher. At this roadside travel center.
He's going to have to learn about this at some point.
Yeah, right.
He's going to have to learn about the crow who made the earth by dropping rocks that became the stars or whatever the mythology behind a dream catcher is. You know, when I was a kid and we finally did get into Christmas as a family, it was I would go to Cragen's Pharmacy at 77th and Aurora in Seattle. And then it was just like, well, whatever I can get in this Cragen's Pharmacy that's under, it was like Steve Martin, if it's below this area and to the left of this and cost, like, and so these gifts were like just terrible, but I had so much fun, and there was actually something nice about the limitation of it all having to be from this pharmacy.
You're a kid here, right?
Yeah, I'm a kid. I'm like very young. I remember I got my dad, I'm sure I talked about this at previous Christmases, but I got my dad this like laminated, jokey, like plaque that said to error is human, to really screw things up you need a computer. And then it was like a guy that was surrounded by like dot matrix printout, you know.
I think like swirling around him like he's trapped in his own paper
trail. In his own printouts, because, you know, to error is human, but to really screw things up, like, because my dad liked computers, even though at this point computers were so rudimentary. This is in the early 80s, I think, mid 80s. I got my mom this, like, it was a really over the top, it was like a purple feather pen, but the feather was like huge and the plumage was intense. It was like whatever I imagine Anne Rice writes her vampire novels with, like a purple over the top feather pen, you know, just real POS gifts. But I remember just like emerging from Cragen's Pharmacy just being so psyched to give these gifts to my family, and now, you know, here I am 35 years later. I'm going to be wandering the streets of Bellingham tomorrow trying to find, you know, some kind of, like, I don't think it even matters to Carrie as much as it matters to me, these gifts, but I will now torture myself tomorrow to try to find the exact right thing, when really all Carrie wants is a poster
a big
that says
feather.
To err is human, to really screw things up you need a computer.
And a big feather pen.
Yeah.
Indeed. Oh, man.
Okay.
I love that pen idea, though. God, I almost wish you would get her that.
If I could find it again,
will she hear this before Christmas?
No, she'll hear this never. Thank God.
Oh, okay. She's not listening these days.
She is. I believe she has cycled out, and that's not an indication of the state of our relationship, I'm happy to say. I think she's just... What's happened is, you know how on this show I'm constantly trying to turn people onto other podcasts? Well, it's been successful with my wife.
Oh, thanks. Great.
So she listens to that Dax Shepard podcast now. She listens to a ton of Howard Stern, like, all the time. Oh, except she won't going forward, at least not in the car, because, well, more on that coming up after this break.
Yeah, I've been dying to ask you about that, but I have been holding off because I know you want to talk about it later.
Let's get into that rotten stuff coming up in a moment. First, though, this quick break, and then back with more TBTL.
I got 10 toy soldiers for Billy Joe. I got a coloring book for Sue. I got a little toy train for Danny Boy and a cowboy suit for Lou. I got a talking baby doll for Cindy. I got a pair of roller skates for Jane. And baby, if we ever have any more kids, Christmas shopping's gonna drive me insane.
What is this? I love it.
It's Buck Owens.
Wow.
Buck Owens. What year? It doesn't say here. It looks like this was released in 99 as a collection, but clearly before that. I'm going to guess this is 1960s, maybe early 70s Buck Owens.
That's great. And by the way, I'm sitting here, 42 years old. It only occurred to me in listening to that song, that's why my parents were anti-Christmas, because there were seven bleeping kids. And they were like, we can't. Yeah. Like, we need to opt out of this whole present economy because there are too many children in this family. So now we're going to reverse engineer it into a religious worldview that involves not giving gifts on Christmas.
That's fair, yeah.
You know what? Could you cue up the thank you music? Because I want to make sure, before things go to negative town, I want to make sure that we thank our donors of the day and get that handled, because once I start telling this story, I don't know what's going to happen. We want to thank Farron Shear of San Diego, California, for donating to TBTL and supporting us. Thanks, Farron. Jeanette Cabral of Toronto, Ontario. Oh, man, I'm already really digging the geography of this, Andrew. This is my Christmas present to you. The location of these listeners. Of these donors of the day. Jill Jackson of Waltham, Mass. Mm-hmm. Amanda Triggs of Bow, Washington. What up, Amanda? Bow was crazy yesterday. There was power lines down on the road. I-5 was closed. You know this. You were hosting a drive time show. I was listening to your drive time show. They keep talking about how I-5 was closed completely in the northbound direction near the Bow Hill exit. Stephen Lee of Shelton, Connecticut, and then Tom Dunn of Woodbury, New Jersey. Tom, Stephen, Amanda, Jill, Jeanette, and Farron. Thank you for supporting TBTL. Thank you for thanks for listening to the show, for one, and then thanks also for when we do the TBTL-a-thon, for hearing us and for being like, I do want to dedicate some of my hard-earned money to that. I could use this money on beautiful purple pens. But no, I'm going to... Well, maybe you'll spend it on both, but at least some of your money is being prioritized for TBTL, and we really appreciate it. We really wouldn't be here doing the show without you, so thank you. Again, Farron, Jeanette, Jill, Amanda, Stephen, and Tom. Thank you, babies.
Life must go on, I'll start anew. The next time, baby, it could happen to you. Lost love is like falling dew. Gone and forgotten, all thanks to you. Thank you, baby.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
So yesterday was... I knew yesterday was going to be a little bit of a hectic day for me, but... I underestimated just how sideways things were going to go. You and I and Andy Haynes did TBTL in the morning, and then I was hustling off to catch a flight. I was supposed to leave Bellingham Airport at around 10:30, fly down to Seattle, have a little break actually, and get some work done for Livewire, and then fly to Portland and do Livewire. And I was driving up to the Bellingham Airport, And I noticed this is how in tune I am with the flights now, Andrew, like out of that airport. I noticed a particular kind of aircraft was taking off. It was like a prop plane. And I was like, the timing was off. I was like, that shouldn't be happening. Like that plane should not be taking off from, that's how small the airport is. And again, how connected I am to the flight schedules of these various flights. And so I was like, something is amiss. There's a disturbance in the force. Why is this a Horizon Air double prop plane taking off at this time? And it was because that was the plane from way earlier in the morning that had been delayed. I also noticed that the trees were almost sideways at the airport, like the kind of fairly young, you know, whatever they were, trees were blowing in the wind to the point where they were bending over. And I thought, this doesn't seem super safe for airplanes.
Yeah, especially those little guys.
So I get in there and I walk up to the I'll try not to belabor this. If I get bogged down in every little detail, we'll be here for hours. But like one of the things is I now travel so much and I travel this very specific route so much that I don't say this with any kind of pride or to be – would be the weirdest and the saddest brag. But I kind of at this point know more about how this works than the people that work at the airline. Like – I walk up and I look and I realize we don't have an airplane, and it's 10, and I'm like, yeah, this isn't happening, this flight. So I walk up to the person at the gate, who's very nice, and I say, is this flight actually happening? And she's like, oh, yeah, definitely. I go, well, how is it that we don't have an airplane yet? And she's like, oh, no, it's on the way. It'll be fine. And I was like, it's pretty windy. She goes, no, it'll be okay. And I'm just like thinking, yeah, no, this is not going to work out. But I go and I sit back down. Sure enough, an hour later, this poor woman, I mean, she has nothing to do with it. And boy, what a shitty job. You have to go on the like intercom and tell 100 people that the flight is not just delayed, but canceled. So that was problem. But you know what? Usually I'm a little bit creased when they cancel flights. And this was the one time where I was like, yeah, you've kind of got a good point, guys.
Yeah,
like,
what are you going to do?
The wind's blowing 100 miles an hour sideways. Like, I don't think any of us really want to die over trying to get to the, you know, Seattle on this one. So I can't believe I'm admitting to this. Oh God, I knew the story was going to take too long. This was not even part of what I was going to talk about, but you'll find it interesting, and that's what counts.
You had a dream.
I'm sitting at the Scotty Brown's, which is the like restaurant in the airport on the other side of security, and I'm finishing up a little breakfast. And as she announces that the thing is canceled, I immediately fire up my Avis Wizard app and I like rent a car to go to Seattle, because I'm like, there's going to be a mad dash for these cars because now you've got all these people that need to get to Seattle. Yeah, so I reserve a car and I walk over. And there's this actually very nice guy who was in line with me going through security. And for reasons that are too boring to get into, I had a guitar with me because we had a bit on the show last night where I played guitar.
Is this the guitar a listener gave you? A TV show?
No, it's this little. Okay. It's actually this little travel. It's made by a company called Taylor, and it's kind of like a small guitar you can just take places. And the funny part is, I'm so bad at guitar, and I'm so not a guitar person that as I was going through security with this travel guitar, this very nice guy behind me said, "Hey, how do you like that Taylor travel guitar?" And I looked at him like, "I have no idea what you're talking about."
Oh.
And then I realized, oh, no, you're talking about the guitar I'm bringing with me. But that's like how limited my guitar. And then I tried to act. I was like, yeah, it's got the action's pretty low. So I like that.
Why did you just say, oh, is it actually your guitar?
I would have just said,
I'm bringing it for somebody else or something.
No, it is my guitar. Okay. And to be honest with you, I do actually like that the action is low. But the action being low on a guitar just means the strings are close to the fretboard. Mm-hmm. So if you, like me, don't play guitar very often, it's easier. Because when the strings are high up off of the fretboard, you have to press them harder to hold them down and make the sounds, basically. Mm-hmm. It's like an easy-to-play guitar. And I do know that much. But I was also in my mind searching for something that sounded relevant to another guitar, to a fellow guitarsman. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's like super nice guy. And then we just chatted for a minute. And then we get through security. And then flash forward to flight is canceled, and I'm now standing in line at the Avis counter to get the car. And this guy's in front of me, and he's getting a car. And I realize we're both trying to just get to SeaTac. We could ride together. I could make a friend here.
You guys could start a band.
Seriously. And so I was, and this guy was like, couldn't have been more nice and normal. And I had this weird feeling. I was like, I bet you anything, because there's a limited number of rental cars and he and I are going to the same place, I bet you he is going to ask if I want to split a car. And I was just kind of like, if there was ever a candidate for me doing it, splitting a car with, it would be this guy. Just completely normal seeming, non-threatening stranger. There's nothing odd about him, nothing that seemed like, well, this could be a problem somewhere near Everett, you know. Just like hella normal dude. And we're both driving to the same place. But I just didn't want to roll the dice. So I made up an excuse in my mind in case he proposed us riding together. Which, of
course,
sounds
like me.
He did. He got his car.
He did,
and,
huh?
And then he turned around. And then I was talking to the rental car dude. And I was like, and I said, oh, yeah, I missed my, I said, my flight was canceled. And he said, oh, hey, you know, if you want to ride together. And then I just said, Andrew, I just lied. I said, oh, you know, I got to grab some stuff at home. But thank you so much. I lied to this guy's face so we wouldn't drive together for no reason other than, well, I just wanted to reserve the right to fart or something. I don't know. I mean, I've been eating a lot of vegetables and oat milk lately. I don't know what's going on. No, it wasn't about passing gas. It was just like there was something about like just wanting to have my, I guess, have things the way I wanted them and not roll the dice that we would have gotten into conversation I wasn't looking for. I don't know what. I don't understand. I mean, this is also good job, Luke Burbank, environmentalist. Like, we could have burned less fossil fuel if we were in the same car. Like, there's just no good reason to not do it other than I was just like, I want to be in a car by myself.
Well, that is because you are something that is classified as an American. Yeah. But also, in reality, you also were on deadline, though. You had to get there. You didn't want to probably be futzing around with, well, what part of town are you going into? I'm going into this part of town. Then you got
to
get there
going
and walk
to the airport.
On a stage.
He was going to the same
airport.
This is what's
so sad. You're
trying
to get to Seattle, not to Portland.
We're literally going to the same airport. He's trying to catch a flight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
to one place. Like, I mean, there was just no good argument. But there was – you're right, though, about this one thing, which is I did have – I had in my mind, well, now that I'm driving to Seattle, maybe I can use this time to do a little, I don't know, not quite meditating, but just think through the elements of the show. I do use my time in the car to try to kind of, I don't know, just make a plan of what I'm going to do.
Yes.
And so I guess I did think that a little bit, and there's a little validity to that. But mm-hmm. but mostly I just wanted to be able to, like, not have to think about anybody else while I was mm-hmm. now on this, what would be a 2-hour drive to Seattle. So I get my rental car. It was champagne colored. It's a massive vehicle, which also was a thing. They were trying to get it returned to Seattle. So I have some enormous, like 12 person SUV that's champagne colored that I'm now piloting down to Seattle, which had a heated steering wheel, Andrew. Steering wheel. And also I realized the steering wheel, it's a heated and cooled steering wheel. You can make the steering wheel warm if it's cold outside or cold if it's warm outside.
But what if one of your hands is too hot and one of your hands is too cold? Can you split? Can you
split course.
The wheel? Okay, good.
It's not the Stone Age, Andrew. Jeez, come on, dude.
When you have a big car like that, not like a, like, oh, this car is below me, but more of a kind of like, listen, I don't want the world to think I'm the type of person who buys a giant SUV so that I can just drive myself around doing non-SUV things. Like, you know, this is just me, and I think you to a degree. I feel like there's a stigma on SUVs. I am so surprised that somebody hasn't started a company that has, like, magnetic signs that you can buy that you can just put on the outside of a car that just says, this is a rental. I wouldn't usually drive this.
It would be called Mike's excuse services,
right? And giant feather pens, because the feather pens are a loss leader.
Anyway, so I drive down to Seattle, and I had this feeling, Andrew. I was like, I'm in a car now. I'm driving south. If I just stay in this car, I'll be in Portland eventually. That's how this thing works.
Yeah.
But I also still had a flight reservation from Seattle to Portland. And the rental car was only rented from Bellingham to Seattle. But I was like, don't go into that airport because that's mm-hmm. the Sarlacc. You will
yes.
be digested over 1,000 years. Keep going. Follow the drinking gourd. Feel for the moss on the south side of the tree, and you'll make it to Portland. Like,
because you lose autonomy when you go in there.
Exactly.
You lose control over your situation.
Yes.
I don't know how this story ends. I mean, I sort of do, but I'm really hoping you didn't roll the dice by going. Like, that's something about airports. Maybe that's why I'm anxious about airports. You know, I am pretty cranked up about them usually. And I think that is part of it. I think you have to go through so many steps that you don't have control of. And you can get one cranky person at TSA who doesn't like the look of your laptop, or one person at the gate who says, sorry, we gave your seat away because we're an airline and we can do that, or whatever. And there's something that is a lack of control in those situations. So you're in this car, you're heading south. Do you pass the airport or do you keep on going? I mean, do you keep on going or do you go to the airport?
Because, again, I had this rental car, and I'll be honest with you, maybe somewhere in the back of my mind, I've been upgraded to first class for my flight from Seattle to Portland. Now, let me mention, that flight barely levels off. That flight is basically taking off, and then it's preparing for landing. There is a moment over Chehalis where the flight is actually level at about 4,000 feet. The flight, its highest point is roughly the height of a McMansion. That's the highest the flight gets. They can't even give you anything if you want it in first class. Like, they don't come around. I mean, you might get the quickest of cups of coffee, but it's the dumb, like, that for the first classedness of that flight is so not important. Oh, and by the way, let me just mention that, without getting into the weeds on it, there was all this craziness with my reservation when I left. When I left Bellingham, I called them and said, hey, I'm not on this flight, which was canceled. Can you just leave me on the Seattle to Portland flight? And they said, okay, and they did this whole thing. And then the computer overwrote it, and I got a weird update from the airline saying, oh, now you're on this, like, now you're on these new flights. Like, the system just, like, took over. And then by the time I got back on my original flight, I was back in steerage. So in my defense, I actually wasn't going in there because of the first class thing, because that had – I had been sort of – you know, sorry about that. That was just Avis.
Is
telling
that the
me
kale?
That was Avis telling me about a car rental. I got to really turn that. I gotta figure out how to turn that notification off.
It's a nice sound, though. That's the nice thing about it.
Exactly.
It lets you know something's going on, but it's also just a really pleasant sound.
Well, that's
a, sounds like a robot belching.
It sounds like a computer telling you it's time to go take a number two.
Yeah.
Like, have you forgotten about your 9:30 number two, Luke?
Boop.
Anyway, so point being, I make the fatal error in judgment to go to the airport, and as I'm pulling into the airport, and I know this is a bad idea, I get a call from Carrie, and she says, and I can just hear her voice is a little shaky, like, this is not good. And now, the space car had been being weird the last couple of days, so she had taken it into the dealership. And I'm now, like, pulling into the rental car thing. You know, they're doing that thing where they wave you in, but it's a weird thing where the guy wants me to go over two lanes. I always think I'm going to hit the car in front of me because they keep telling you to get closer. And I'm like, we're too close. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna hit this Kia Sorento. And, like, but no, they know what they're doing. It's very hard for me to trust the people at the rental car return area as far as the proximity to the car they want me to park. Anyway, I'm pulling in there. Got a lot on my mind. Carrie calls me and she says, now, I knew that the car was having some problems, but the car is 6 years old. The car is which to me, like, that's the – I had never owned a car that was 6 years old up until, you know, I moved back to Seattle to do TBTL. In other words, every car I'd ever owned was at a minimum 10 years old when I bought it, and probably more like 15 or 20 years old. I got a car in the first car I ever had was a 1980 Honda Civic, and I was not 16 in 1980. Let me put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the car's been being weird, but I was like, you know, what's the worst thing that can happen? It's got, you know, it's some kind of a problem with the spark plugs or the distributor cap or what have you. Anyway, no, she calls me to tell me that the engine is blown, which is $13,000 to fix. And I said, well, how much is the car worth? And she says, $13,000. So
how is the engine blown? Is it just like a laptop that crashed and can't be rebooted? What happened?
Without getting into the extremely boring details that I only minimally understand, what I've been able to figure out via the internet is this year of Audi car has a flaw where the engine, these You know what? I'll read to you from these various text messages that Carrie and I have been exchanging on the topic. There's basically, let me see here.
I wish we had someone in our listening audience who was really into this.
In with him last night, by the way.
Oh, good. We're talking about our friend Lynn. I checked in with him when I realized I'm going to be buying a new phone recently. I'm like, this is the type of thing Lynn can help with. Your car's broken. My phone's broken. We're just picking up the red phone and calling Lynn for all of our personal needs now.
Absolutely.
Because he doesn't do it. He doesn't shoulder enough.
No.
He's in the TBTL verse.
He's been slacking off. Yeah, there's something to do with on these cars. Scoring and grooves getting worn into the cylinder bores of the engine, and what it starts with, the car needs oil every like 500 miles, which was happening to us for a long time, and I was like, this is weird. Like, you shouldn't have to add oil every 3 days to the car. Like, I've had some really shitty cars in my life, and those, like, I've had a Hyundai Excel with 140,000 miles on it that didn't need oil every 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So. And then after a while, that kind of fixes the problem, or at least limps the car along. And then at some point, the engine just fails. And of course, it's now past the warranty and all this stuff. And I was kind of annoyed yesterday because as I'm looking this up, all these people online are like in the forums going, "Yeah, this has been happening to my Audi Q5." And I'm like, "Oh, this is exactly what happened to our car." Meanwhile, and listen, there are much worse problems that people deal with in real life all the time. I know this is very first worldy, but I was like, we kept bringing it in saying, hey, the car needs oil every 3 days. Is that normal? And we were getting told by the Audi dealership in Bellingham, yeah, this is what this engine does. So, and the other thing is there's like class action.
They were saying, oh, yeah, this is what the engine does. It burns a quart of oil every 3 days.
That was some of the feedback that we got over this whole thing. And check this out. There's a class action lawsuit around this that ends – it was settled by Audi, and it ends – wait for it – on the 2011 model of this car.
Yeah.
So I was like, cool. So that's like just dropped right into the lap of my brain as I'm now rushing into the airport to try to catch a different flight that I get into the airport and learn is delayed. And then I go and I get in the airport lounge and I go, hey, I'm on this flight from Seattle to Portland. I'm already so mad at myself, Andrew, that I went into the Sarlacc. I'm like, why?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, hey, I'm on this flight. It's been delayed like 3 times now. And there's like, you know, from Seattle to Portland, there are like 20 flights a day. So I was like, could you move me to a different flight? Because this one keeps getting delayed. And the woman very nicely says, you know, this one is still supposed to go out first. And I think you should just stay on it. And I was like, I know, but I just am worried about this flight. She's just like, no, you'll be okay. Now, by the way, time is really ticking. Like, it's getting to the point where we're getting touch and go on if I'm going to be able to drive to Portland and make it in time for the show at this point.
Can I just point out one thing that I also learned from my time on commercial radio yesterday? This is the busiest travel day of the year for airlines, certainly for SeaTac. It was the busiest day at SeaTac. Of the year.
Yeah. I realized that when I got to SeaTac. It's like, because nobody wanted to travel today. Everybody was like, I'll be smart. I won't go on the Friday before Christmas. I'll go on the Thursday before the Friday before Christmas, and then I'll just breeze through. Mm-hmm. Well, everyone had the same idea. So it was a madhouse. And it was a madhouse, Andrew, that then turned into a nut house. Because all the flights started getting canceled because the wind – well, it was like the wind was screwing with things, and then everybody's schedule, all the airlines' schedules got thrown off, and then it was just all hell broke loose. So now it's finally time for the flight, which has been delayed by a couple of hours, and I'm like, I would be in Portland right now if I just kept driving in that champagne-colored huge SUV.
Mm-hmm.
I walk out to the place where it's supposed to get the flight, and – I look, and it's weird because the flight's going to Portland, but it's not the flight number for my flight. It's a different one, and they're just people that look upset everywhere. And I was like, this is not a good sign. And it's like my flight had been canceled, and everybody, you know, who had been on my flight, we were now all SOL. But what's weird is that there is a flight going out, but we just weren't we weren't on the lucky one that's going out. We're on the unlucky one that's not going out. And our lives are all you know, at least as far as it relates to this particular afternoon, our lives are all now being thrown a major curveball. And everyone else is just getting on their flight to Portland. It's just kind of like, boy, this is a weird system. And it was all I – for the record, I'm also still carrying a guitar through the airport. It was all I could do to not
– How's the action on that thing?
Decent, actually.
Yeah, low?
So I like – well, you know, it's a Taylor travel model. I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Guitar
right.
people
yeah,
get
yeah.
it. Guitar people like me get it. So I was all I could do to not just like walk up to the – well, it was one of those things where I went up to the – first I ran back to the lounge because I was like, I'm going to – I'll talk – I was – I know it wasn't her fault, but I wanted to just go back and kind of like just say to the woman who had told me not to change my flight, this – Denise, this is why I needed to change flights. Mm-hmm. But, of course, it's not Denise's problem. Or fault, rather. She was trying to be helpful. She was making her best guess at what was going to work. She just guessed wrong, and now she needs to be fired. It's simple. But anyway, so I ran back to the lounge because I thought, well, this is where the rich, cool people hang out. Maybe they have a special back line. And then they tell me, oh, no. We can't do anything. You got to go back to the line of the normal line. So I run back to the gate and I wait in line. And then the person there tells me, no, you have to go to customer service. And I'm just like, don't you understand?
What are you trying to do at this point? The last flight is already gone, right?
So it's not the last one. I'm trying to somehow get myself moved over to one of the flights that's still supposedly going to go to Portland in the next 3 hours.
Okay.
And because there's now this total nightmare situation where there are flights going out, but I'm not on any of them, and they're all over full of people. Like, and then she's telling me, no, there's another flight coming in from Maui, and those people are – or there's a like they need to get on this flight to go to Portland to get their connection to Maui, and that's going to be the priority because the airline's going to be out all this money. Like, it's just a – it is just a complete and total cluster F in the worst way. And I, like, go on the app – I go back on the app of the rental car company and try to rent a car, and it says we have no rental cars available right now.
Of course, right.
I'm just like, wow, well, this is going to be the first time I just miss – straight up miss Livewire. Like, okay. It was bound to happen. I live in a different city than where the radio show is taped, and I'm just the host. And so I go and I get on the rental car shuttle to go to the rental car center where I don't have a rental car reserved. I'm like, I'm just going to throw myself upon the mercy of Avis. Just
you put on a
there.
Wizard hat just to like.
I'm just going
to
go, sanctuary! And just lie across the counter at the Avis preferred desk and just be like, please, please let me go to Portland. And as it turns out, the reason they didn't want to rent any cars was because in times of crisis at the rental car agency, they don't like renting you cars one way. They didn't want me taking one of their cars and driving it to Portland and not giving it back because they need all the cars they can get. So what I ended up doing was calling the 800 number in the shuttle, and the guy was like, yeah, I can't rent it to you one way. And I was like, well, what if I bring it back to Seattle? He's like, sure. So I rented it to bring it back to Seattle. And then once I had the rental, I immediately changed the destination to be Bellingham because that's what I was going to do anyway today. So anyway, sorry, this is getting very boring.
So hold on. So you just basically lied to him. So you agreed to one thing, but then you used technology to change it?
Yeah. And I'm very proud of that.
Gentleman is only as good as his word. A wizard is only as good as his word.
Well, we have the show title. No, but like, I mean, I guess I was lying. Here's the thing. I knew that at this point I needed a rental car real bad. And if somehow legally I had to bring it back to Seattle today at 3:30, then fine, that's what I was going to do. But I also figured once I had the reservation, once I had the rental car in my possession, then I could figure it out from there. And in fact, I got the rental car in my possession. It was an extra $80 or something to take it back to Bellingham, but I was like, hey, fine, you know, I'll do what I got to do. Now I'm in the car, though, Andrew, and this is where I start listening to you and Mike Salk on the Ron and Don Show. By the way, really good job. Like, you interviewed friggin' Barry McCaffrey about this whole Mad Dog Mattis situation. I thought you sounded really good. I thought the mechanics of the show sounded good. I thought the questions were good. I thought you guys actually said some thoughtful things about Mattis's resignation without going too just crazy political. Like, I just thought you guys split the difference really well. Nice job.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah, I got to say, that's probably one of the areas I'm least comfortable with is, like, interviews. Like, I'm going to just kind of riffing and going back and forth with somebody. So often if there's somebody on the, because I think I'm kind of a bad listener because I feel like there's got to be a follow-up question. So half your brain is what's the next question, but also you got to be listening to what the person is saying. So it's always something that is, makes me a little bit more nervous, and I think you can hear it in my voice. So it's, when you texted me, you're like, nice job. I'm like, oh, you had to hear that part. But no, but generally speaking, I mean, he's amazing, obviously. And Mike was really fired up on that. But anyway, thank you.
No, I thought you guys sounded great. But it was, I'm sitting in the rental car and I'm like in just stopped traffic and I'm looking at the Waze thing and it's just like ticking up by the minute. And it gets to the point where it tells me I'm going to basically show up in Portland at like 7:20 and the show starts at 7:30 and I have to rehearse this song that's a bit for the show, hence the Taylor low action travel guitar, which involves me and the announcer on our show, Elena Passarella, doing a song where she's going to play saw and I am going to play guitar. This is a thing that we, and we're supposed to rehearse this before, like it's just, and I'm listening to you on the radio and again, you're doing a good job, but my life is really falling apart. And I also realize I have to pee. There's no time to stop and use the restroom. I'm starving. I root around in the car. I find food that has been left behind by the previous renters of the car.
No.
Yeah.
Stop,
because they
the
didn't
story.
Even have time to clean the car
this.
At Avis.
No.
They were just like, keep it. No. Like, okay, what do we got? Go jump in that car. Just take it. Just run. Just, like, we don't even have you in the system. You can have it. You own the car now. Just go. Like, it was just like a madhouse there.
Wait, you're not going to eat the food you found in the car?
Oh, I did, and it was fine.
Oh, my God. What did you find?
Oh, was it like open? A tuna casserole. Yeah, I'm trying to think of who would be the worst.
Half a jar of mayonnaise.
Who would the worst food you could find in a rental car from the pre? No, it was the reason I felt okay eating it was because it was a bag of salt and peppered cashews that was – most of it had been consumed, but there were some left. It was Girl Scout brand. It had the name Becky. Somebody had written the name Becky on like loose leaf paper and then taped it to the bag, which means
you
I assume it belonged to Becky.
Yes. You ate a kid's snack. That was probably a kid eating
well,
that.
Well, Becky wasn't getting it back. Listen,
no,
dude, desperate times.
It's just so weird. I would never – I mean, I've been hungry before. As you know, I'm hungry now. I don't think I've ever been hungry enough to do that.
Well, I didn't. Listen, I have a survival instinct that's going to serve me well when the apocalypse comes, which seems to be getting closer and closer.
Yeah.
If you've been following the news. So, yeah, I ate the cashews. They weren't bad. Thank you, Becky, wherever you are. and so, long story longer, I did manage eventually to get to the theater just in, like, literally just in time to do the show. And it was a great night, and
did you get
I got
to rehearse, or did you have to do the song without rehearsing it?
Did a very, very, very brief rehearsal. The song was a disaster, but that was kind of the joke. We were saying goodbye to our guitar player and our band leader, Jonathan Newsom, who's been with the show for 13 years.
Oh, yeah.
And so the joke was that we wrote him a song. And because now we're going to have to be the musicians on the show.
Yeah, and you don't need him anymore, but here you are, terrible. Yes. Yeah, see, that's
and
good.
It was really bad. Our song was pretty bad. I wanted the song, you know me, here's what I wanted to have happen, and this isn't what happened. I wanted the song to be intentionally bad, but actually we were still kind of good, and people went home.
Yeah,
thinking,
of course.
You know, Luke Burbank's actually, he could probably be in the band Oasis if he tried. That's all I wanted people to like low key think,
Sure.
But instead they high key thought, "Ooh, that guy's bad at guitar."
Yeah,
like
he's more of a comedian than a musician. It turns
out,
you
know. So I wanted them to be like, "What can't he do?" But instead they were like, "He can't play guitar.
He's a single threat."
It was exactly. It was very clear that I am a single threat. So. You know, it all worked out, and I guess the point of it is that the sun rose this morning, even though I'm still down a vehicle and don't know, like, I guess we just have to buy a different car now. Now we are the proud owners of one vehicle, which it has 250,000 miles on it, and has, like, when it rains, the water comes into the Toyota 4Runner because the seal around the windshield is broken. That's our car. That is the car we own. And I guess we're just going to roll with that for a while.
Wow, that is infuriating, though. I don't understand how a car, a car company that is revered in a way, yeah. right? Yeah. They just have a whole line of cars that break the year after the warranty runs out, and the engine just shuts down on them. Like,
yeah,
what is
I know
this?
It seems unfair. I mean, I'm gonna like see if there's what sort of recourse there is. I have a feeling. I mean, maybe I can get Jesse Jones to help me out. Although I feel like the one of those. Every town has their, seven on your side. They're the people helper, the person who goes mm-hmm. and yells at somebody who did a bad job. But I have to say, the white straight male with the luxury car that broke on him, I'm actually hoping they put that at the bottom of the list of the things that
so?
They deploy yeah. Jesse Jones over. It's more like, how about people who are being evicted from their homes at Christmas time, or whose their epinephrine shot is now 5,000 times its original price or whatever. Those are the people.
Little girls who somebody stole all the cashews and now they're
yeah
hungry.
Right. You know, your Beckys of the world, your basic yeah. Beckys. Not like yeah. I don't know what'll happen. I might get my bet. To me, it would be a win if. Well, I know what the dealership is going to say, and I've been emailing with them a little bit. Here's what they're going to say. We're really sorry about this. We'd be happy to give you a generous trade-in on your car to buy another one of our overpriced cars. Like, mm-hmm. that's our only kind of remuneration is going to be to get locked into another expensive car situation, which I am very much not into as an idea right now, obviously. So,
well, wait, let me talk about this with you for a second, if you don't mind. I'm legit interested in this. You've been driving these Audis for a while now. You love them. They became kind of iconic in the early days of TBTL when you got it, because I think
space
it was
car.
Yeah, space car was one of your first new nice cars. You're in love with it. And so I've associated you with that. You've been driving them for, about 10 years now. Are you saying that you are not in the mood right now to buy any nice car, or you're just like, I'm not going back to this company, certainly? Are you mad at the company and just like, as far as you're concerned, you would prefer never to drive one of their cars again?
I'm mad at the company. I don't think if I had another one of their cars, that car would break down. I think this was really unlucky. And in fact, I could have even had a car from this year, this particular year. I just got like, we just got one of the like defective ones. Like, there are other people with this same car from the same year and it's not doing this. We just got unlucky. We got one of the crappy ones. But what I'm really realizing is when I bought the first one of these cars, I was probably trying to make some statement to myself about where I was in the world. I started off with an Audi A3, which I had seen on the street in LA and thought, that's a nice car. And then I decided I wanted one. And then when I moved to Seattle, I got one because that's how my brain works. And then when they were working on the A3 one time, they loaned me a Q5. And I was like, this is even nicer. And then it started this process of my brain turning on wanting to get one of those. But what I'm realizing is, like, I don't need a car. Like, all cars are pretty nice right now. Like, mm-hmm. there are less glamorous brands of car that are making totally good functional cars that when they break down, it does not ruin your life. And it's not like
right.
thousands of dollars to fix every. Well, for instance, I have my Toyota 4Runner is over 20 years old, and for all of its problems, it doesn't have a blown engine right now, and it was $5,000 when I bought it or something. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think I'm very down on anything that would be considered a luxury automobile right now. Like, I just don't need that in my life, and I think it has to do with where I'm at personally. I think it has to do with a lot of the experience I just had. So yeah, so I'm not trying to get back into some expensive car that I kind of can't afford and that the stakes are so high with if it breaks down. I just want to get like a functional car. This is all I want. A car that has working Bluetooth.
Yeah, right.
I honestly don't care about anything else in the car other than can I play my Chris Hayes podcast through the stereo easily? Or is it going to automatically fire you saying, hi, Goldfish Darling? That would be a bad outcome.
I would take the second one. Whatever. I don't often make you choose between me and Chris, but in this case, I'd really like you to choose me. Get yourself a Toyota or a Volkswagen. They'll last forever.
Well, yeah, but you know what? It's the same company. I'm going to try to say the word right.
Yeah.
Volkswagen, right? Volkswagen.
I think so,
That's
yeah.
how you say it.
With a K,
Not
yeah.
Volkswagen, as I have always said it in my life. Well, the thing is, guess what? Volkswagen owns Audi.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, and it's not on them. I mean, but yeah, here's what I want to get. I just want to get like a car that's not very expensive, that has decent Bluetooth, and that doesn't need oil every 3 days. I feel like that's a modest ambition. So I think that's kind of the plan going forward. And you know what? Like, I am really bummed about this, and I am really like, I'm just like, wow, this was, other than my house, this was the most expensive thing I've ever bought. And it just went, as they say, TU. So it's kind of a weird, and again, don't cry for me, Argentina. There are people, this is a very, 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 very privileged problem to have. I get that. But I'm also, Carrie and I were texting about it last night. We were both like, you know what, this really sucks, but this is a good lesson for us. Well, really me, because I bought this car before she and I were together. But it's like, it sucks, but also fine. We'll move on, and we'll get the next car we get will be. We're not fancy people. We don't have that many fancy things. This was like a weird. This was out of character, and this was definitely me probably at some point emotionally processing something unrelated to car ownership. And now it's like, okay, that really sucks. Hopefully, we'll get some kind of, I don't know, they'll buy the car off of us for the wheels or something. But then we're just going to get a more normal person, for us, a more normal person car, and then life goes on. It'll probably be better for us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that sounds good.
That's the plan for that.
I'm on board with that.
Thank you.
All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things, and then the songs of the week. Oh my gosh, and it just makes me so happy.
You can make you happy too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter, no joke. So again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter, and we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
I think it's time for us probably to do some music for your weekend, and then be done here for 2018, my friend.
All right. Well, do you want to start with music for your weekend?
I
noticed that on the show sheet we both have TBDs by music for your weekend.
Yeah, but then I hold on a sec. Yes, I then made a plan for my song, but I then forgot it. But now I remember it. I want to do. I've been just steeping myself in the Christmas music, and of course I love all the Bing Crosby and the old timey stuff, but I also kind of like to mix it up a little bit. So I was thinking, you know what song I would like to suggest for some music for your weekend is by Julian Casablancas. It's he's the guy from The Strokes. It's the song is I Wish It Was Christmas Today. It was like a joke song on Saturday Night Live that like Horatio Sands and Jimmy Fallon and I think Chris Kattan and maybe Tim Meadows did. They came out with some instruments and played this like rudimentary, silly Christmas song. But I think it was an episode of SNL that Julian Casablancas was also on as the musical guest. And people loved it. And I kind of have a weird soft spot for it. And so then he just developed it into like a full-on actual song off of one of his albums. So this is my – and I wish it was Christmas today, because maybe I'd have a beautiful – new car with a red bow on it under the Christmas tree.
Did I
mention this on the show or off the show that I'm trying to do a story next year for CBS where I break down the actual implications of doing that?
You didn't tell me that.
Of buying your significant other a car behind their back. Like, do you have to forge their signature? Like, what's the financing situation? Just like, I want to really get, like, I think it would be kind of funny just get into the nitty gritty of that actually on a practical level, how that works. Because if you watch TV right now, you're under the impression that everyone is giving everyone else like $45,000 vehicles that the other person had no idea was going to happen. And I just feel like that seems unrealistic to me.
Yeah, you know, Vives and I, well, especially Genevieve, that those commercials really drive her crazy. They just anger her on some sort of kind of class level, I think. Yeah. And they're always ugly-ass cars, too. And it's funny, though, we were talking about Christmas yesterday because, you know, a lot of people are talking about Christmas. It's top of mind. And she said, you know, I was considering for a second maybe like looking into getting you a new scooter for Christmas, which is kind of funny because it wasn't my scooter. It was our scooter, but I definitely used it more. And I was like, yeah, that's probably something we should do together. And she's like, yeah, I can't be complaining about couples that get cars for each other for Christmas. And here I'm getting you a vehicle. Like that would be our little city version of the suburban commercials where the people come out to their driveways and they have a car, or in one commercial that's in heavy rotation right now, two giant SUVs.
Oh, I know. God, there's.
I said
one.
I love it.
Yeah. Sorry, I'll stop now because I'm going to go down a whole rant about that stuff. Anyway, okay, so yeah, that's my music for your weekend suggestion. Julian Casablancas, I Wish It Was Christmas Today. Take a listen. I think that they use this song in the car commercial.
They do?
I'm remembering, like, I think an instrumental version. I think this came back on my radar. Like, when I heard the notes, I was like, oh, yeah, I think they use this in, like, not one of those fancy car commercials where someone comes out of a beautiful mid-century house to their expensive car. It was more like a more affordable car, but I do think it was probably in a car commercial. But anyway, that is my music for your weekend.
Why was it? What was the joke? I mean, yeah, it's a little cheeky, and I couldn't hear all the lyrics, but what was the funny part about it when other people
were singing? Original song, what was funny about it was the physicality of the guys playing. Well, just look up I Wish It Was Christmas Today SNL, and you'll see.
Yeah, I mean, when you type it in, it's the first thing that pops up. Oh, really?
Yeah, we have actually talked about this because it's the look on the face of Jimmy Fallon, Horatio Sands, and Chris Kattan.
Season's greetings from all of us here at Saturday Night Live.
Go ahead. Sorry, we used to talk.
I think Tim Meadows. Is it they're just playing these really silly little instruments, and they're just being being silly. That's the humor.
Oh, yeah, I see. They're just kind of corny. Yeah, it's Tracy Morgan.
Tracy Morgan.
Yeah, this does ring a bell. We've done this. All right, so let's not do it again. Let's do something else that we do over and over and over around this time of year, which is play this song. I feel like, you know, it might be getting a little bit dated now, but one of my favorite Christmas songs was the Raveonettes Christmas song, and we play it every single year. You like it, too. We haven't played it all this year, so this is my last chance to play Christmas music. So let's do it. This is the Raveonettes doing the Christmas song.
All the lights are coming on now. How I wish that it would snow now. I don't feel like going home now. I wish that I could stay. You're on display now, and it's cold now. I don't feel like going home now. I wish that I could see.
That stands up. I haven't heard that in a long time.
Yeah.
I was too apologetic for playing that. I stand by
it. That is so good. You're right. I'm with you, man. Like, I love that song, but I had forgotten about that song, and now I'm like, that's like... That is legitimately one of the better Christmas songs out there, I would say.
It's so good, yeah. And I got to say, I feel maybe because I've played it for so many. I remember when it was brand new. That must have been, what, like 10 years ago or something? And it just blowing my mind. And now I think I, in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, don't be the cliche who plays the cliche hipster Christmas song or whatever. So I hadn't played it all this year. But yeah, god damn, that's a great song.
Love that like guitar, that palm muting on that guitar. Mm-hmm. I can do that probably on a Taylor Travel guitar.
Sure. That's what they used famously. Put the guitar on the map, I understand.
We have a listener suggestion too, which is, this is going to be from listener Matthew, and this is going to bring us to the end of our broadcast week. And like I said, it'll be the last sort of live show we do in 2018. But let me just again remind everyone that we will have new shows starting on Monday, so you won't miss a beat as the listener, but we will be able to take a little time off and enjoy ourselves. I'll be able to figure out how to hand rebuild an Audi Q5. If anyone wants a gently used Audi Q5 with no engine, mm-hmm. get at me, because I've got one.
If good news is there, you don't have to change the oil anymore, so it pays for itself.
If you have an Audi Q5 if you have an Audi Q5 engine at your house, and you're like, mm-hmm. God, where do I put this? I have just the thing for you, so get at me. Anyway, this is so this will be the end of our broadcast week, and this song, Andrew, oh my goodness, I feel like this is a Christmas gift to me and you and the listeners. This is from Matthew. He said, "Hey dummies, I'd like to recommend Christmas in LA by Wolfpack as my Christmas music for your weekend. I've been a huge fan of this band for a long time, and a few years ago they released this song. It's super funky and really fun. It's truly unlike anything else. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year." I started listening to this last night, Andrew. Wolfpack. I am loving these guys. I don't even know how to describe their music. It's kind of, well, anything I say is going to, I was about to say, it's sort of like a funk jazz band, a jam band, but that doesn't sound like a thing you want to listen to.
No,
it's good, though. I know, so don't ignore me and listen to the music and enjoy your weekend, enjoy your holidays, and we're going to be right back here on Monday with more Imaginary Radio for you. Until then, though, hope you have a great time. Go Mariners, go Seahawks, go Browns. Go eat candy cane, and please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Oh!